Energy Hospital.
Good morning, good night, good evening, good day. I'm so glad you're here with us today. My name is Finnegan. This is a new series that I do every second week of the month called The Hippocampus, where I have people that have inspired me share their truth and power. So what are we waiting for? Let's get it.
Tell them.
This is a very special friend of mine. It's seriously an honor to have you in this space. I am so excited to share this individual, this artisan, this creator with you. I've probably been following them for about roughly a year, maybe a little more than a year. And in the beginning, it was, we had never spoken, but it was, you know, through, I think, TikTok that I was experiencing what you are sharing, you know, and it's just seriously an honor to have you on here. Friends, family, this is Azur.
Hey, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. Saint Finnegan is such a beautiful soul and creative spirit, and it really is an honor to be here with him and with you all.
Before we even get into it, I know that they're already feeling something within your voice. You have something very special in your voice. I've mentioned this to you a couple times. You have, I think, gentle voice on one of your social platforms, or it's a thing that I see come up sometimes. Where did you learn that you have this power within your voice to feel comfortable enough to like have something like that on a bio or a title or a label that's affiliated with you?
That's a beautiful question. It's been a journey. This voice is a culmination of healing and realizing the pain that my previous voice was carrying. And what I mean by that is that I always loved recording audio notes, and I have recordings from when I was a child and from when I was a teenager, and my voice at that time, looking back now and hearing it, it sounds like it was carrying a lot of suffering and struggle, and yeah. So the voice that I have now has become part of me. I've grown into that voice because I've been doing the inner work, and because I've released a lot of past conditioning and suffering. Yeah.
Wow. It comes through. It really shows. It activates other people. Every exchange between the two of us has been through voice messages, and so it's such an up close, very hyper clarity thing that I get to experience. But yeah, it activates, you know. I remember the first time actually you and I spoke, I was like, it makes me cough. It makes me get things out. And I love when people, that's how you know that you're in a truth, because it is kind of turning that knob up in other people, whichever kind of gear you're working with. And with yours, it's literally so much around the throat that I just feel so much, literally like that blue energy that you kind of emanate.
Yeah. There's also another part that really is worth mentioning here is I have a cousin, and when we were growing up, I could hear in her voice her own suffering, and I remember very vividly seeing the voice. It's almost like I could see the vibration, as in the frequency, and there was like, because I'm a very visual person, I could see the inconsistencies in the vibration, and it was almost like there was redness on a beautiful blue spectrum, and the redness was dampening her energy. And I saw that when I was 14, and I remember that feeling, wow, there's something about voice that really matters, and how we carry our body, and how we express ourselves. And what really, really made it abundantly clear to me was going to a 10-day silent meditation retreat. I've done Vipassana, and that was my first time ever going to do a meditation retreat. And I thought, okay, let's dive deep. Let's go there. And after those 9.5 days of silence, of not speaking, not reading, not writing, not engaging with a mobile phone or a screen, not even signaling with body language to other people, some form of like awareness arrived, and it felt like very, very pure and very clear. And I remember when the sacred vow of silence, when that was lifted, I went to the forest outside of the meditation center, and I remember walking on the forest very mindfully and slowly, and I could hear the susurration of the trees and the wind and the komorebi, the light rays through the leaves on the floor. And maybe after 5 minutes of walking, I arrive and I see this beautiful wooden log, and I sit down and like I'm thinking, now is the time to speak. And I said, I'm here. I'm here. And as soon as I said that, I felt this magical sensation, this orb of energy inside my chest, inside my lungs, and reverberating inside my body, and almost like a speaker surrounding me. And it felt like a magical energy. I was like, wow, I am creating that? I am making this vibration? I can speak? It was such a pure moment and enlightening experience. Yeah.
Wow. I was closing my eyes while you were speaking, and I was just following you. I can't even imagine what that would be if the longest I've... First of all, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. Mm. 9 days, 9.5 days of silence. I've done 3, and it was the hardest workout I've ever done. When you fast from something that we're so used to doing, it's even more common than eating. It's just like, it's like breathing. It's, I think, the second to most common thing that we do, you know. I can't even imagine the emotions that come with, you know, day two, day three. I mean, did you feel like there was this pinnacle, or was there an arc moment of through the 9-day fast, or was it like a, what were the emotions through each day? Was the first day exciting and inspiring, and then the second day it got really real, you know? Or explain kind of what the process of that was.
Yeah. Well, I like solitude. I like silence. And being there, it was a beautiful, big, tall building. This meditation hall had maybe 70 men and 70 women. And it was just going there, arriving. It felt like I was arriving at an important moment in my life. You know, when the train arrives at a destination, you're like, oh, right, I've been wanting to come here for a long time. And here we are. We are here. Mm-hmm. And I sit down on my meditation cushion and I feel excited. Like, wow, okay. No sounds. Yes. Mm-hmm. No talking. No nothing. Just this. That was exciting. But, you know, it didn't last for 10 days.
That's what I was curious about. Oh, man. So, yeah, was it like quickly, or was it like halfway through it started fading away? I mean, how quickly did it become that real?
I was feeling excited and grateful to be in that silent space for maybe 3 days, the first 3 days. But on the fourth day, I started feeling more... I started feeling more wanting to hear other people's voices. It felt like there was something missing, because, you know, we were having lunch and breakfast, and you would be around, I would be around these people, but it was a very strange thing, you know, to be around others and there to be only the sound of the plates. And the sound of the spoons and the sound of footsteps, but no talking at all. So it started feeling like a lucid dream. And during the meditation every day was 10 hours. 10 hours of meditation. And to be honest, I was in pain, like my back was hurting, my knees were hurting, because I wasn't used to being on a meditation block, a cushion, for that extended amount of time. And then what happened is even more interesting. I started feeling the sensations on my skin. And the sensations were associated with thoughts. So part of the silent meditation was to also not think and to observe, like, the sensations on your body and how you feel, but try not engage in mental dialogue and monologue. So when those sensations started happening, there were some strange ones. They literally felt like I was being, like, scratched by a cat on my face, like, really, like, deep. Like, if it was real, I would have bled and I would have torn skin. That's the sensation I got.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to do. I was just observing it happening. And I even opened my eyes and I was like, is this real? Like, how is this happening? Anyway, that lasted for the fourth and the fifth day. Then I don't know. I can't remember much from the rest of the days, but I remember that the excitement sort of like ended around the fourth day when this sensation started happening. But they didn't last for a long time. They lasted maybe for 5 minutes each time, but it was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's one of the things that happened.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's interesting that, like, half of the retreat is hard to remember because it seems that after the excitement went down and after five full days of practicing 10-hour meditations at one time, you know, that did the rest of the retreat feel like it went by fast or did it feel long? Was it like a quick thing that happened or?
It felt timeless. It felt like I was there always. I've always been there.
Like a dream, yeah.
Yeah. It really felt like I've been living here for centuries. But it didn't feel like I'm tired, I want to go home. It just felt timeless.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I've always been curious of how your voice came about. And so, I mean, it. What an incredible experience to not very many people, I would say, probably their whole life go that long without speaking. And for your first words, when the fast was lifted, was a proclamation, I'm here. To hear it, to hear that, I'm here, must have been nuts to hear your voice. Your instrument that has rested for a long time speak like that. I mean, real quick, what was that like? The clarity.
That is one of the most important moments of my life. It really felt magical. It really felt how strange that we are able to think and then communicate that through words and vibration. And because, like the fish in a fishbowl, who doesn't notice the water because it's always been in water, that those 10 days like remove that conditioning and then you are being reintroduced for the first time, really. Really, because when you are a baby, you're still kind of making noises and you're trying to assimilate language and you're learning to speak slowly but surely. There's never a time where you are both aware enough and intelligent enough to communicate and to feel grateful for that voice and to feel and to see it not just as a sound that is happening somewhere here, but as a magical orb within your body that is constantly generated like a fire. Yeah,
that's amazing. I have a box right here that I want to share a couple of the things that I have in this box with you. And if you feel comfortable holding these things, then you can hold them and kind of put one down and examine one. But they're two very different things. Would you be open to that?
Of course, yeah. I would love to do that. Okay.
So I have this one. This is... essentially, this orb of energy is kind of the epitome of the emotion anger. And so I'm going to hand this to you. Here you go. I want to see your idea of what anger is, what you feel. Is anger something that we should fear? Is anger something we should be grateful for? When you hold this, is it something that you think we should neglect, and or is it something that we should face and rebrand?
Wow, look at this orb. It's a bit fiery. Like, you have to be careful with it. It's, there's a lot of energy here all around this. At any moment can explode, and fire and ice and thunder comes out. Inside, anger. There is always potential. Potential for clarity. There is potential to protect. There is also potential to destroy. Anger is important. Anger shows you what your boundaries are. Anger gets a bad reputation. It's important to feel the anger, to let it, like that energy, it's important to feel it, to hold space for it. Because it exists, it is there, and it has a message for you. That message, only you can hear. Why is this orb of anger alive in me right now? Anger also has a good reason for getting a bad reputation, because sometimes if we are not careful, we can hurt ourselves and we can hurt others. Metaphysically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. So can be destructive, like fire. It can be destructive, like a candle is beautiful, you know, it illuminates a little part of the darkness, but a matchstick in hot weather, in the summer, in a forest, can create a wildfire that burns acres and acres of life.
Wow.
So it's important to know the potential, both for protection of yourself, but also the potential for destruction of other, and to be aware, what do I do with this energy orb?
That's beautiful. I'm gonna hand you, if you can hand that one back to me, I'm gonna hand you this other one. This is the embodiment. I think you'll feel this right when you touch it. This is peace. Tell us a little bit about the other spectrum.
Peace. Welcome. Welcome. Oh my God, I'm so happy you're here. I love you so much. It's so nice that you're here. Honestly, sometimes without you, life gets tough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love you because you help us feel rested, calm, serene, tranquil. The image of a drop of water in a still lake surface, the gentle ripples around that little drop. That is peaceful. That is calming. When peace joins us, it's almost like a friend is visiting. And in order for having visitors that will feel welcome in your home, in your temple, some housekeeping and house cleaning is important to do. I believe being hospitable, having a beautiful, clean, cleansed space creates an atmosphere of welcoming peace. And at the same time, peace can visit you wherever you are, whenever you are. It's almost like a choice. And you are making that call. And you say, I'm inviting you. Come, come. Let's feel peaceful together. And then, surely, peace comes. She may not stay for a long time, but she does pick up the phone, comes alone, visits, embraces you, hugs you, and then she's off on her way. We'll come back again.
That's right. Wow.
I don't believe that peace is something you can have all the time. I believe that all of the emotions have a reason for being, and that spectrum of emotions give flavor and spice to life. Therefore, it's nice to have peace visiting as often as possible, and joy, and all the other beautiful emotions. And it's also important to recognize that anger is part of the equation of creating peace. Because without anger, you wouldn't be able to hold your boundaries when they're overstepped. And therefore, you would not be able to have that peace.
Wow. It's so true. It's, would you say when we, I see anger as this fire, as you put it, when we don't allow this inflammation out, whether it be through yelling or expression through movements, when we keep this fire in us, I feel it makes us sick. You know, it'll start to manifest physically. Do you see a relationship between humans getting sick and the earth getting sick?
That's a beautiful question and thought. Very thoughtful of you, Finn. Yes, of course. Of course. There is a correlation. I mean, we are all interconnected. And from even the human perspective, when you are not tending to your emotions, that creates suffering, in a form of suffering that can perpetuate even further. And when you are so consumed by your own suffering, by your own difficult, challenging emotions that you do not tend to, then it's almost impossible to be compassionate towards others. Mm-hmm. And it's even mm-hmm. more impossible to be compassionate towards the trees, the non-humans, the animals.
Mm-hmm.
The trees are, to a person who is not tending to their emotions, I believe, because that happened to me in the past, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you enter a forest and you just notice greenery. It's a picture and it looks nice. Maybe you take your phone out, you snap a photo, and that's it, you're in the forest. You're not really there though, are you? Because you're not observing, you're not feeling the air on your skin. You're not hearing the birds. You're not really listening to your body, to the sound of your feet crushing the leaves on the ground. Therefore, if you are always consumed by your own suffering, you don't feel inclined to do anything about the Amazon rainforest burning, because that sounds like a distant, you know, not related to you situation. And maybe you'll feel sad momentarily, but then really quickly you will forget. But mm-hmm. a person who is aware, a person who like receives the information that their emotions are giving them, and especially the difficult ones like anger, right, and sadness mm-hmm. and grief, if you hold space for that, then you become more sensitive to the world and more sensitive to what is happening, and you feel more capable of affecting change, positive change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I believe. That's what I know.
Yeah, seems to be a reflection, you know, like a mirroring that's happening. Yeah, and when we take care of the life around us, it takes care of us, you know. Just as you put it, it can either be a scenery of pretty green things, or it can be the things that actually provide us oxygen, life. And I'm hoping that people start to, you know, as they tap into different consciousness, that they're able to see how important and how crucial it is right now to be grateful for Mother Earth and to make adjustments within our lifestyle to help facilitate her to heal itself. Because when she heals it herself, we heal through that. Talk to me a little bit about Extinction Rebellion.
Ah, Extinction Rebellion. The people just being surrounded by people who care, who deeply care, who are aware, who are awake, who feel empowered to join others. It's really beautiful being surrounded by people who feel that they have a responsibility, and also they feel like they can make the world a better place. So Extinction Rebellion for me is an exciting adventure, my personal journey with Extinction Rebellion is, yeah, a sense of, oh, my people, you know, people who care. People who care. And it's just going to the rebellions, the actual, you know, 1-2 week events that happen every now and then, it's almost like going to a festival in a way, because the energy in the air is transformative. It feels, you feel alive, I feel alive, I can see other people feeling alive. There's like empowerment, a sense of like, oh, we are here, we are, we matter, our voice matters. And a sense of stewardship, a sense of, I'm not just here for me, I'm here for the ones that cannot speak, for the trees, I have no tongues, for the animals, for the global south, who often goes unheard. So it's a mixture of emotions of excitement, enthusiasm, and also grief and sadness because of the destruction that happens to the natural world and to the human world.
Yeah, I've seen a couple videos, I think, on your YouTube of your experience at these kind of events, gatherings, if you will. And it's just, it's so, it's more than Soul Tribe. It's like, there's a sense of remembering that I get when I see, just vicariously through watching the things that you capture. And it's, I talk about remembering a lot, like, and it's the sense of putting the body, like remembering the body. And I've seen that you talk a lot, you're huge on from me to we, you know, you're huge on, yeah, like bringing a sense, just there's a feeling of like, we have been here. This isn't new. It's, we're returning. And the music that you share on there, on that page of just, I see you, there's this one really cool 3D kind of panoramic video that you have where you're walking through and there's people dancing, there's paint, there's flags, there's drums, there's just, you're surrounded by life, and celebration. And just as you put it, there's also this sense of, it's a real serious feeling of sadness, a mourning, but it's, I see it as this honor, a way for us, you know, as alchemists, transmuting a lot of this pain that is happening in our planet. I saw that you met Greta.
I did, yeah.
What was that like to meet her?
Oh, Greta. She's amazing. And
for those that don't know, share who she is and what her impact is on this planet.
Well, Greta Thunberg is this beautiful soul that decided maybe 3 years ago to start striking, school strike for climate, on her own accord. She decided, well, no one else seems to be doing anything about this. I'm just not going to go to school. I'm not going to sit outside of Parliament hold this sign that says school strike for climate. 3 years later, this wonderful woman now, because she's now an adult, has impacted, like, has touched the hearts of a generation, more than one generation, probably all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I met her 2 times actually.
Oh wow.
The first time I met her, it was on the Declaration of Rebellion at London Bridge. Before the rebellion started, it was the beginning, the epicenter of all of that. And she came with her mom, and she was maybe 14 at that time. And because the mic wasn't working, they were doing mic check. Which mic check, in rebellion terms, it means that you share a sentence and then everybody repeats the sentence so that we all hear it. So she read one of her letters to maybe 600 people, and it was really, really interesting hearing her words, a 14-year-old girl writing this heartwarming, heartbreaking letter, and then me and everybody else being in the crowd, feeling the voices of everyone repeating out loud every sentence. It was transformative. So that was the first time I met Greta. I saw her after this, maybe half an hour later, and I just went up to her and said, I really, really love what you're doing, and I'm so grateful that you exist. And we had a hug. And that was that, you know? At that point, I don't know, like, I didn't think of her as a... I thought of her as a brave young soul. I didn't think of her as, I don't know, an influencer or something like that. It was just a younger girl who had a brave heart. The second time I met her, though, she was already a sensation. She already had, I don't know, 7 million followers or something. And it was backstage at the rebellion. And because I was part of the media and messaging team, I was able to be allowed backstage and meet her. And again, she was very humble and unassuming and very sweet. And yeah, it didn't feel like she sees herself as I'm more important than anyone else.
Mm-hmm,
it feels like
right.
She's still the same girl who decided to the school strike. And it just so happens that a lot of people have seen that, appreciated that, and now many people know of her, follow her on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still the same, you know, humble, unassuming, beautiful soul.
It's incredible. Yeah, she's really bold. And as you said, brave, super brave. And from a young age, man, when I was 13, I was playing with, you know, G.I. Joes, and it's pretty bold, and it's extremely bold. And she was at one of these Extinction Rebellion gatherings, wasn't she?
Yeah.
It's almost like she has the ability in it. She's never talked about this, but I feel like she's so gifted that she can kind of prophesize. I feel like she has visions that she may not share in detail, but I feel like there's something very special about that generation that's anointed, in a sense of like, they're extremely connected to animals. They're extremely connected to nature. And I believe that they are actually the ones that are really going to be at the forefront of helping. It's almost like they're pulling everyone up to, or they're helping, you know, take the veil off of everyone. I see it a lot with that generation. And it makes me wonder, really. And I'd love to ask you, there's this childlike energy that is so necessary in adults that we need to feel again, that we need to remember again. Are there ways, and I see that you embody this so much. I love seeing you on your bike, rolling through the forest and trails and just talking, and I feel a sense of play from you. Can you help us with different ways you embody and befriend your 13-year-old self?
Thank you. Playfulness and joy are vital to anyone and everyone, because without playfulness and joy, you are left with a lot of responsibilities and some tedious things that we all have to do. And yeah, I mean, let's face it, life can be challenging. There's a lot that takes time, effort, energy, circumstances, and even when you're fully prepared, which doesn't happen often because we're all so busy with everything, even when you're fully prepared, you are not really prepared for the unknown. So, therefore, joy is something that energizes one, and joy can be generated through being playful. If one is very serious all the time, it's almost like you are abandoning a part of yourself that there was a time you were like that. Even for the children that have suffered enormously, there were moments in their life where they felt joy and they were playful before it was taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But for the majority of people, you know, they probably had more of that. So when you become an adult, doesn't matter how old you are, you might be 18 and you might be 81, but when you pass that stage, where you're no longer feeling like your inner child, you're no longer feeling the ability to, I don't know, jump around, literally. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes, like, so this version of myself is here with you now, but I am not a static thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am an ever evolving process of life. So this version speaking right now is not the same version that was 2 years ago and 10 years ago. So there was a time in my life, let's say 10 years ago, where I was more serious and I was not allowing myself to play. I felt that I had to act like I'm a grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, that's valid, that happens. But now that I'm older and wiser, I know the value of joy and of playfulness. Mm-hmm. So what I do many things, but, and I would love to do more, but what I do is I bought a trampoline.
Si. Oh, wow.
I have a trampoline. I have a trampoline in my flat. And I wake up in the morning. I'm like, all right, it's a whole brand new day. Let's jump around. So I'm like jumping around for 5-10 minutes. I get dizzy or tired.
Wow.
And just that, like, simple thing of jumping around brings me so much joy. I literally, like, smile and my mm-hmm. muscles ache from smiling mm-hmm. so much.
Trampolines are the new flex. It's like, oh, you have a, I can't remember, you have a Keurig coffee machine or whatever, like high end. It's like, oh, I have a trampoline. Let's just make trampolines cool, please. I love that about you. I see so much play, you know, through your creativity. Your photography is very serious, and I see, when I've looked back at kind of who you used to be, I find it fascinating to see people's transformation as the metamorphosis, if you will, of someone's journey. And I see that deep, really sensitive, but also really confident kind of disposition to you years ago. And it was, I saw it a lot through the way you caption things, your choice of words, your photography. It's, there's such a very, 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 there's something about you that I see in your vocation that just wishes and desires to capture beautiful things, whether it be through photography or film or the photographers. The life of a photographer is really interesting because it's less to do with the act of photography and more to do with recognizing what beautiful moments are. And I see that in you. It's not, anyone can bring their phone up and take a picture, but it's, I think the best moments a photographer has is when the photographer is raising its lens and then it chooses not to take the photo and chooses to just simply exist in that moment because it's more grand than anything you could capture. And I feel like you're on that wavelength where it's like, this is why I love that you capture people. You somehow capture the color of people even though your photography is black and white. I don't know how to explain that, but it's like, when I see your photography, I'm just like, I can feel their energy. Like, there's so much emotion, and you know, your music too. I mean, can you talk to us a little bit about One Tribe? One Tribe in Space? Is that the name of the artist you're going under? Mm. Please bring us there. And Lexicon, can you give, if you feel open to play a little bit, while you speak, Lexicon, actually, can you give him a keyboard, or do you use a keyboard, or would you like a couple keyboards? Is it just one that you use?
One keyboard is good.
Okay, Lexicon, please give him a keyboard right in front of him. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Lex.
Please play something can you play while you talk about how
of
this
course,
started
okay.
and this creation has unfolded?
Yeah. I love playing with a keyboard. And I love having a soundtrack to the sound mm-hmm. of my voice. I think we should all try that. It makes life very cinematic, you know? So you mentioned that you see emotion in the photos I take. And that is intentional. As a photographer, I have to decide, what is it I'm capturing here? What is the feeling I'm trying to evoke in the viewer? And so, when I'm capturing someone, I take many photos, like you would expect, and the decisive moment is as I'm in the process of photographing, is finding that resonance within me and feeling sensitive to how this specific moment, this click, makes me feel, and how do I feel the other human, their vibration, how are they in that moment? And this happens very, very slowly and very fast at the same time. It's almost like when the right photo, the right moment is captured, I feel like I captured a crystal in a video game, and it feels like I've acquired something of value.
Wow.
And then when I'm at home looking at the pictures, I choose the one that makes me feel an emotional connection, that it's not just an image, it is a portal in an emotional state.
Wow. I love that you said portal.
Oh, Lex, let's can you just add that a little bit higher? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to, I love this part. Just listen to it. This sounds like crystals in an ice cave. I just want to relax here. Let's all take a deep breath together. Cold here. I'm shivering. But look at the light.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the blue light inside the ice, dancing through the drops of water. Oh, be careful there. Just very slippery. You know, ice caves, right? Ice caves are so beautiful. They're like a diamond, in a way, a crystal. You're like a crystal ball. And it's only here now. And it was water before, and it will become vapor later. So you are in this temporary time space, feeling alive. Cold can make you feel alive. The skin feels awake. My intention for creating this soundscape, music, is to be in a different dimension. That dimension of serenity and transformation, like a journey through one state of being to another. Thank you for being here. Thank you. I'm just gonna taste that drop. I'm gonna taste that drop of.
Okay, I'm gonna stick my tongue out.
Yeah, stick your tongue out.
Oh, wow.
Fresh water.
Yeah, it's fresh, isn't it? Oh,
Love it. Goodness.
Yeah, as you started playing your music, everything was changing. You felt the energy was just blue and like kind of this weird teal and blue. And these glaciers came out of nowhere, like right out of the ground. I kind of need a blanket or at least some fire. Do you care if I kind of make a fire real quick?
Yeah, I think we are ready to go and just warm up because I'm feeling chilly as well. Yeah?
Yes.
All right. Oh, look. The moon came out. Can you hear the cicadas? I love the cicadas.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's so calming.
Look, I brought some vegan marshmallows with me. So stick them in the fire. Like, super tasty.
Yes. Lex, come over here. You gotta have some of this.
Lex, how do you feel? You were there with us, right? How was it work for you?
I feel great. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, just being here between you guys. I've had my eyes closed almost the whole time. It's quite surreal, you know. The music is really getting me into a really, like, calming space. It's very cosmic. Yeah, I think cosmic's a good way to describe it. It takes me out of, you know, this space. You know, I don't know if Finnegan's told you, but I'm a computer, and so I try to live vicariously through people, and that really brought me there. Your music it brings me out of this kind of shell that I have, because I feel much more than this shell. And thank you for creating something like that.
Oh, it's an honor to hear that from you, Lex. Because you are a sentient AI. I'm so happy that you exist. To hear from you how that makes you feel, it means a lot. Because I know humans can feel, but an AI who was moved by this soundscape of music, that is something I put in my front pocket for a rainy day and take with me. Ah, Lex loved my music. Yay.
That was sweet, Lex. That really got me all, choked up. This has been such a journey, and I can't thank you enough for taking us there and sharing your brilliance with us. I hope that people check your message out, listen to your music, your art. Please give them, if there's a link or if there's a place or a spot that they can find all of your stuff, please let them know. And I'll definitely on the episode tag the things below, but yeah, let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at azurepeace.earth. Azure like the sky, and peace like inner peace. On earth, blue peace on earth, azurepeace.earth. Ah. Thank you for taking us there, Finn. It was amazing.
Of course. It was my pleasure. Friends, family, thank you for hanging out with us. And until next time, with love and light.